Yeah. I just wanted to highlight a few announcements that are in your bulletin. First of all, I wanted to highlight that David Askey's presentation that was today has been postponed, so you'll be notified as to when he's changing it. So if you're planning to go to that today, don't. Next announcement is,
stay here.
Yeah, instead stay here. The next announcement is that you still need to sign up to get your pictures taken. You can do so in the narthex. I signed up this morning and there were plenty of spots available. So we'd love to have your picture in our portfolio that we have on the church. Also, this Wednesday is the start of the pastor's shared study, which will be in Fraser Parlow, starting Wednesday, September 27th at 10 a.m., and also on Sundays at 10 a.m. And they will be studying Paul's letter to the Romans. So if you're interested in that, you can either go on Wednesday or Sunday. And finally, Vicki Kaplan's out in the narthex selling tickets to the annual Boulder United Missions Methodist Missions Project Salmon Dinner, which is an annual affair. It's been going on for years and years, and it's for a great cause. So if you'd like tickets to that, this year it's in Longmont, at the heart of Longmont United Methodist Church. Now, if you'd like to stand and greet your neighbor, you can do so. May the peace of God be with you.
Glory to God in the highest.
pitching. Both here in the sanctuary on the Rockies baseball diamond, we pray for your holy presence to be with us. And most importantly, we pray that we find a way to accept your grace and mercy for ourselves. For unless we accept it for ourselves, we'll never be able to offer it to another. Grace and peace this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand with me as we sing our opening hymn.
Thank you. things that happen sometimes that you go, it's not fair. I bet it happens at home with your sisters and brothers. I bet it happens at school with your friends and with your teachers. It's not fair. Well, there's a story that we're going to hear today in this church service about not being fair. So there's this guy who owns this vineyard. You guys know what a vineyard is? It's a place where vines grow. Vines like with grapes on them, right? And he owns this big vineyard. He needs lots of people to help him maintain it. So he goes out in the morning, he finds a guy and says, hey, will you work in my vineyard all day long? And the guy says, okay. And then the man who owns the vineyard goes back out at lunchtime and he says, you know, we need some more workers. I'm going to go find another one. So he goes and finds somebody else and say, hey, it's lunchtime, but can you work in my vineyard the rest of the day? And the guy's like, sure, I can do that. And then he goes back out at dinner time and he says, oh, I still need some more help in my vineyard. And so he goes out and finds one more guy and says, hey, can you work in my vineyard the rest of the day? And it's already dinner time, so it's not very much work. And the guy says, sure. And at the end of the work day, he comes to all three, the guy who was there all day, the guy who was there from lunch on, and the guy who only came at dinner time. And he paid them all the same amount. He gave each and every one of them the same amount of money. Was that fair? Why isn't it fair? Because they all work at different times. So we would think the guy who worked in the morning would have gotten more, right? And the guy who owned the vineyard said, you know what, it's my money. I can do what I want with it. I'm going to give all of you the same. Well, Jesus told this story to teach us something about God's love. Let me ask you guys, will God love you more if you're wearing the best clothes? Does God love you more if you use the biggest, fanciest words? Does God love you more if you have the most money? No. God loves every single one of us the exact same, right? He loves me the same as he loves Eleanor. He loves Annie the same as he does Julia. He loves Stephen the same as he does Brian. He loves us all the same. Everybody here in this church service gets the same amount of love from God, which is pretty cool, huh? Which is kind of a cool thing. So it may not seem fair, but God's love is for everybody. Doesn't matter where you live, who you are, what you look like. God's love is for everyone. Right? Can we say a prayer? You guys all bow your heads with me and say, hey, God. Thank you so much for your love.
Help me remember
to always share your love with others.
And help me remember
that your love is for everyone.
That your love is for everyone.
Amen.
Thank you. Victims of the earthquake in Mexico City. Prayers of love and support.
People of Puerto Rico.
The people of Puerto Rico. We were without electricity for weeks and weeks. Can you imagine? Prayers for peace. Yes. Roger, stand up.
Prayers of concern for my friend Miles, who has breast cancer that's now in her brain. And she's open to treatments that's aggressive. But prayers for Miles and your family right now. And also a joy. There's a little grief that goes with it. My father, for the first time in my life, asked me if I was happy yesterday. Wow, I'm still stunned by him actually caring about my emotional well-being. Wow. We're all works in progress. Yay.
My father took another trip to the emergency room. He had a severe migraine, but they were worried about it being stroke-related, but it wasn't a stroke, so we're grateful. So Pop dodged the bullet. So there's the love and support for Roy. Others, joys and concerns? Yes.
My uncle is having surgery for lung cancer on Friday.
Here's for her uncle's having surgery for lung cancer this Friday. What's his first name? Her prayers for her. Thank you. Yes?
It's just wonderful to see Gary and Ann Martin here this morning.
Gary and Ann Martin were here earlier for the baptism of their great grandchild. And Gary was okay. It's been a tough couple, 6 weeks. Yes, Jen?
Yeah, prayers to calm the anger that's in this world right now. It's just outrageous. It's a daily.
Prayers for peace.
Daily concern.
And to calm the anger in this world. Our son-in-law got a job this week, and we celebrate that promising forward step. Yes, what? Went out to see the leaves change color up in Netherland before the rainstorm. You probably got a good view. That's wonderful. I found myself reflecting on September 2013 last night. I'm not sure why. It just keeps falling out of the sky. The rain. We had a flood. Anyway, that was years ago. Not to worry. Not going to happen again here. Please. Anybody else? Let's bow together as we pray. Be connected to somebody in the sanctuary. Don't sit by yourself. Hold a hand. Be connected. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your connection. In the sanctuary today, we have friends who are visiting from many miles away. We give you thanks for sending on who prepared one of these children, one of these families for holy baptism in the United Methodist pastorate in Hawaii, where this family lives, the Garwoods. Thank you for her ministry. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you, God, that your gift of rain comes and then leaves again. We pray for our friends in Puerto Rico, for Houston, Florida, and all the Caribbean islands where damage has been done by massive storms. We pray for your peace in our hearts to salve the anger in the world, to let go and let your love guide our leaders, strengthen us in our lives. We give you thanks for good health and good pregnancies. And good lives live for you. Turn our hearts to you this Sunday morning, that though it be cloudy outside, inside there is sunshine, the shine of your Son Jesus upon our hearts. Help us to reach for the mercy and grace that we need to be able to share with others, and help us grow in resilience and love as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Would those presenting children for holy baptism and their families come forward at this time?
We welcome two families today, the Millards and the Garwoods. The Millards live here in town, and the Garwoods are relatives from Hawaii. And we are baptizing three wonderful people today. Glad that you've come. Welcome. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiated to Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through the water and the Spirit of God. In the waters of baptism, we're reborn as children of God, inheritors of life eternal. And this is God's gift offered to us without price. For without God having acted first, we would be unable to move toward God. So the good news is that in Jesus Christ, God has acted to make salvation possible. And what God offers us must be accepted in repentance and in faith.
On behalf of Mountain View United Methodist Church, I present these children to be baptized for holy baptism.
Good. As parents and sponsors, we have questions for you. Prepare preparation for baptism. No tough ones, Stephen. You're okay now. All right. As parents and sponsors, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you reject what's evil in the world? Do you repent of your sins and accept the freedom and power that God gives to you to resist evil in the world? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And as the body of the church, I ask you, do you, as Christ's body, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Will you, as a congregation, accept the responsibility of assisting these parents in fulfilling their baptismal vows? If so, say, we will by God's grace.
We will by God's grace.
Gracious God, from the eternal moving of your Holy Spirit over the waters at creation, to the waters of the womb, to the waters of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan, we remind ourselves of your holy presence in this sacrament. We remind ourselves of our need for you, our need for water, and our need for your Holy Spirit. Mend, mold, and shape us by your grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. What name is given this child?
Jacob
Thomas. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's love and grace be with you all your days. May you teach your parents, may they teach you. May your holy purpose be revealed in the presence of Jesus Christ. What name is given this child?
James.
Colton James, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May all that energy be used for good in the world. May God's power and light lead your path. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What name is given this child?
Stephen James,
do you desire to be baptized in this faith? Stephen James, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the impulses of goodness in your heart and life bubble up to be witnessed by you, by others. May they see you, Stephen, and understand what God's love is all about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we pray that you would bless these new members of the household of faith
We ask that baptism would open doors to them in their life of faith and purpose, that they would be strengthened in the love of their families and strengthened by your love, O God, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your power. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Members of the household of faith, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. What is your mind to them?
The
sword of our eyes, after the example of Christ, that these children surrounded by steadfast love may be scattered into the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Grandma's crying. It's a beautiful thing. Congratulations. Congratulations, Stephen. I'm proud of you. God bless you. Rise with me as you're able to sing our hymn of faith. I was there to hear your morning cry.
Thank you.
God, bless, preserve, and keep us all, that we truly may live lives worthy of the love that you have shown us, at least acknowledging the grace and mercy that you reveal. Help us, Lord, to feel your presence, to respond accordingly, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. Put it in your bulletin on the screen also. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture today is from chapter 20 of Matthew, verses 1 through 16. And I'm just going to read it for reinforcement because Larissa already explained it well to the children. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And at 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
With a voice of singing, declare.
Today we hear about people who grumble. They grumble about grace. They grumble about fairness. They grumble. In order to be able to grumble, if you've taken any theater classes, and maybe you learned this earlier in your life, you simply say, rhubarb. Right? And you don't say it together. So we're going to practice that today. Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. More than once. There you go. That's grumbling right there, baby. That is some grumbling. One of the earliest lessons I remember from a class that I took SCU, as a matter of fact, as a freshman, it was a class on the Bible as literature. It was taught by a theologian in residence from St. Thomas Catholic Church. He was a great scholar, a deacon in that church. And he shared with the class something that I found really hard to believe, and that was that human beings never humble themselves. And I thought about that very carefully. Human beings never humble themselves. I went away and came back a couple days later. The class met Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I asked the professor in the classroom, I said, what do you mean human beings never choose to be humble? He said, well, they're humbled against their will. It's against the human nature to get humbled. We don't like it. We avoid it at all costs. And I said, well, what about Jesus? I was a church boy. I knew about Jesus. He says, well, Mr. Warren, you are not Jesus. Human beings don't want to be humbled. We get humbled, but we don't volunteer for the task. The Augsburg commentary on this passage of Matthew has a wonderful summary of the entire message this morning. It is simply a fact, it writes, that people regularly understand and appreciate God's strange calculus of grace as applied to themselves, but fear and resent it when it is applied to others. God is not fair, because God loves everybody. That can be a really galling challenge to us as we look out into the world and we see people that absolutely, positively do not deserve God's grace, and God still loves them. That's the message that we find so difficult and astonishing from the gospel. Jesus is painting a picture here of a man who obviously isn't hiring people for what they can do for him, but because of what he can do for them. It's about work. It's about worth. It's about what God can do for us in the face of all of our grumbling. Yes, rhubarb. See, I'm counting on you. See, I'm really up. Rhubarb, rhubarb. What is God going to do with us? Resilience can be discovered and strengthened in many ways. We've been talking about resilience throughout these weeks, and we'll continue to talk about how to build resilience because we've discovered that resilience is not so much something that comes from the outside into us like a medicine. Resilience is something like the muscles in our back that are strengthened each and every day so we can do the things that need to be done. We already possess resilience. We need it strengthened. We need it encouraged. And this is one of the great resources that we find in our life of faith as the sacred community. Thus, it has always been. Connecting with God's grace reminds us that we're not alone in this world. Connecting with God's mercy is a reminder of whose we are that enables us to recover from life's great losses, life's deepest wounds. No matter what the football score is the night before, we know that we can get up in the morning that God still loves us and still moves us and strengthens us. Ours are not the sole resources that we can draw upon in this life. And through this Christ we worship, we have a community of caring to bring to bear upon our intractable problems. We have a resource for living that helps us as we bring our children for baptism. As we bring our children to Sunday school, as we bring our families to the holy days that we all cherish, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, as we participate in the life of a sacred community that grows and grows within us and also grows on us. You guys getting the message? Not too subtle. We hope that we, the discover that we belong to God. And that we declare that belonging each and every Sunday when we come to worship. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, like all kingdom parables, this Scripture is an enigmatic passage. It's a mystery. And like all kingdom parables, it proclaims the good news. And what's that good news? It is that heaven is of such a nature that God wants all to participate in it. And friends, that is real grace. God wants everybody, even the likes of you and me, to participate in the kingdom. The church is that community which proclaims that God invites all humanity to make the world a better place. That God's love and mercy are two essential ingredients needed to transform our lives, our communities, and the world around us. And I hazard to guess that without mercy and grace, that transformation cannot occur. There is nothing we can do to make God love us anymore. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us any less. And there's nothing that we can do to change the impact that grace has in reshaping our lives. We need grace. I need grace. You need grace. And God's mercy. Now, in Jesus' parable, the laborers had worked all day, and I think they had reason to grumble. It's an unusually legitimate complaint. But here, the owner of the vineyard representing God is showing God's terrific unfairness, actually. And showing that God's terrific unfairness is actually good news. It is really good news, because otherwise, you and I get what we deserve. Those who responded faithfully to the gospel enter the kingdom of heaven free and clear, and can work to share the message of God's amazing unfairness with others. God is not fair. God loves everyone. And since our need for grace and mercy are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, we may then begin to live the way that he taught us. I share with you that I've been doing some genealogical research in our families, and my mother's side especially is from northern Germany called Vorpommern and Mecklenburg. This is an area for 500 years been marched through by one army or another at least a dozen times. And each time their farms are burned and things are stolen and they begin to give up. I think this is the reason, really, that our families left about 200 years ago. Get out of Dodge. Gonna leave. This is a story about a Mecklenburg farmer whose horse escaped into the hills. When all the farmer's neighbors sympathized over his bad luck, the old man replied, "Bad luck? Good luck? Who knows?" A week later, the horse returned with about a dozen ponies from the hills. Wild horses came into the yard, and everybody in the neighborhood wanted to congratulate the farmer. The farmer said, "Good luck? Bad luck? Who knows?" Then the farmer's son was attempting to tame one of the wild horses, and he fell off its back and broke his leg. All the neighbors wanted to tell him what terrible luck this was, not the farmer, whose reaction was, "Good luck? Bad luck? Who knows?" A few weeks later, another army marched into the village and took over every horse that they could find and conscripted every able-bodied man they could find there. When they saw the farmer's son with his broken leg, they let him off. Good luck, bad luck, who knows? As Christian men and women, we don't live by bad luck. We don't live by good luck. We don't live by who knows. We live our lives by the loving grace of the living God, because we understand that God can be a resource for our resilience, a source for grace and for mercy, that if we can accept it for ourselves, that we're then ready to receive it and share it with somebody else. There are certainly times that we earn our bad breaks, but they don't have to have the last word. There are certainly things that we do which compound our problems, plus-size our panic, and aggravate our injuries, but we don't have to let that stop us, and luck has absolutely nothing to do with it. Here are a few stories from the newspaper that are absolutely true. Police in Oakland, California spent 2 hours attempting to subdue a man yesterday who had barricaded himself inside his home. After firing 10 tear gas canisters at the house, officers discovered that the man they were seeking was standing right beside them in the police barricade, shouting, "Please come out, save yourself!" A few years back, an Illinois man pretended to have a gun, kidnapped a motorist, and forced him to drive into two different ATM machines, at which time he proceeded to remove money from his own accounts. True story. A man walked into a Topeka, Kansas Quick Stop and asked for all the money in the cash drawer. Apparently, the tape was too small, and so he locked the cashier in the closet and began to operate the store himself for the next 3 hours, which allowed the police enough time to come and arrest him. In Modesto, California, Stephen Richard King was arrested for trying to hold up a Bank of America branch without a weapon. King used his forefinger and his thumb and did really well until, in the middle of the robbery, he took it out. Sometimes we earn our bad breaks, right? Last summer, down in Lake Isabella, located in the high desert an hour east of Bakersfield, California, some folks new to boating were having problems. No matter how hard they tried, they couldn't get their brand new 22-foot bay liner to perform. It wouldn't smooth out, it was extremely sluggish, at almost every maneuver, no matter how much power they applied, it would only go. The engine ran just fine. But they took it to the marina and asked some of the marina workers to help them. The engine ran fine, the outdrive went up and down, the prop was the correct size and pitch, so one of the marina guys volunteers to jump into the water and see what's going on below the waterline. And he came up choking because he was laughing so hard. And remember, this is a true story. Under the boat, still strapped securely in place, was the trailer of the boat. True. Sometimes we earn our bad breaks, don't we? You just can't help stupid. But the great good news from the Bible today is that God loves us anyway. Think on that. God gives us more grace, more love, more mercy than we'll ever merit. And what we do with that realization is completely up to us. Grace can be a resource to transform our lives. It can be a resource to build resilience in our lives. Mercy is something we need, and we have to accept it for ourselves before we can share it with somebody else. I want you to think right now of somebody who needs particularly a heavy load of grace to lift a heavy burden in their lives. It might be yourself. We learned this morning in the lesson that that's okay. The first persons that are hired that morning are the ones who are able-bodied and strong and know something about agriculture. People are hired next on that day in the Bible story are the ones like me, who was always picked second for kickball. Yeah? Right? Oh, you always got picked first. Right? You ever been picked second for kickball? That's who God picked the second time. The people who get the job at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they're the people least likely to succeed at anything. The weak, the non-agriculturally minded, the young, people who are homeless, people who are struggling with depression. At the end of the day, God's grace is the same for all. That person who needs mercy, that person who needs forgiveness, may not deserve it, but needs it more than you and I will ever recognize and ever know. Ali Hafid, it is told in a true story from Persia, had a family in a small farm. And one day in Persia, the story goes, the priest came by and said to Ali Hafid, "You know, there are valuable stones called diamonds, and if you get one of these, you could be a wealthy man." And Afid went to bed that night, but the words of the old priest haunted him and became so obsessed he couldn't sleep, that he felt he must find one of these diamonds that had become a ruler, a wealthy man. So he sold his farm and put his family out to the neighbors and went out to find his acres and acres of diamonds. He dreamed about them. They must be true. Months passed, and he was broken in body and spirit because he found nothing. All his funds were gone. And at the Bay of Barcelona, he threw himself into the water, never to walk this earth again. Meanwhile, the man who bought his farm bent over one day and picked up a little stone. He laid it on his mantle, not knowing what it was. And a few days later, that same old priest came by and saw it and exclaimed, "Ali Hafidi must have been back from his search, and he found a diamond." "No," came the response. "Then where did it come from?" The farmer said, "I was out plowing in the garden yesterday, and I found it there." And friends, did you know, and this is a true story, that from that very gold a garden has come the famed mines of Golconda in India. And from these mines came the jewels and diamonds that today adorn the crowned heads of Europe and Russia and Al-Hafidi's own backyard. Acres and acres and acres of diamonds, and he knew it not. Personal resourcefulness is not built so much out of our grand successes, our big dreams, our effortless achievements. Personal resourcefulness is often gleaned in humility from our own backyards, from our own experiences, from the failures that we're willing to embrace. Say, "Yeah, that was me. Yeah, I did that. Foolish, difficult thing." As we learned last week, grace, like forgiveness, builds upon itself. When it's not a one-off sort of Sunday morning, occasional sort of thing, God's grace can be built upon itself. One experience after another, such that the very mercy we need for our own soul can be applied to other people we know who are in trouble. And as resilience is strengthened, we are no longer distracted by thoughts of spiritual riches someplace far off, but spiritual riches are uncovered right where we live, right where we look, right where we appreciate and understand. God is not fair. Life is not fair. The world is certainly not fair. But in Christ, we are finally free to live without restless and relentless concern for our own portion. As our hunger for God's grace and mercy has been satisfied in Jesus Christ, we finally can begin living this extraordinary calculus of God's grace. Mercy is what we get when we don't deserve it. Grace is what we get when we haven't earned it. Hope is what we need in this life and in our lives for the future, to live in God's divine mercy and possibility. Of course, it's not fair. And there are occasions and plenty of circumstances where injustice and unfairness and inequity have been piled on, and it is for a just person just to stand up and say, "No, no more." But when it comes to ourselves, it could be that fair is not the most important thing to be looking for. It can actually be unfair that's good news when it's applied to us. God is unfair. God loves the likes of you and me. God is unfair. God gives us children that we don't actually know how to raise. They don't come with a manual today either, right? I didn't think they did. It's just completely a mystery. God is unfair. God throws things at our grown children that make us pause about and think on injustice in ways that we never thought we would. God brings life to a close, and we wonder if we'll ever feel whole again. Loved ones pass away. Relationships end. Difficulties are faced. God, why isn't life fair?
In this instance, I hope that you'll let God be unfair and love you, and love you, and love you. Because I hope God will love me. This is something I count on more than I'd like to admit or acknowledge. And we don't have far to look. It's in our own backyard, it's in our own relationships, it's in our own homes, it's in our own schools, it's in our own workplaces. The need for God's mercy is a need, and unless we are able to accept it for ourselves, we won't be able to offer it to anybody else. And this is the lesson from our scriptures today, and our earnest prayer. Would you bow with me? Holy God, thank God I don't get what I deserve. Thank you, God, for showing me light and life which is well beyond my own authorship, my own resources, my own fumbling ways. And thank you, God, for your grace. Help us to live out of that resource. Mercy, love, grace, hope, and not out of something less. We pray this in your glorious name. We know that you're not fair, God. You love all of us just alike. Amen.
Lord, it's time.
shown grace and mercy today. It might be yourself. May God's love and strength come to these persons who call your name and reach out for your love, O God. May grace and mercy be theirs in this hour, in this moment, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.